All right, so start hour number two, and that second hour is open. 1-800-636-8686. When I say that an hour is open, what I mean is there are no interviews. That is the best time for you to get through. Third hour has two interviews, and they're good interviews, so you're going to have a really tough time getting through. This is the hour to call. 1-800-636-8686. This talk show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Hit me up. One phone line is open. We talked about all the injuries and the good and the bad from week two of the NFL season. I talked about the LA Lakers, and the Denver was right there. To check out UFC Fight Night over the weekend. Anybody want to talk a little MMA? Anybody want to talk a little golf? Anybody want to talk a little baseball? I can do all of the above. All of the above. Do the Chargers have a quarterback controversy? Did the Cowboys save their season? Man, the NFC East is such garbage. Garbage.
Garbage.
It's a garbage division. And the Cowboys should have started 0-2. Yeah, scoreboard. They got it. They got it done. But again, that loss or that win tells me more about the Falcons than it does the Cowboys. Failed again, what the hell were they doing on that onside kick? And then why don't we talk about a few more before I go to the phones? A few more coaches. Like Dan Quinn. Quinn is well-respected, well-liked, good football coach. But you can't tell me that he doesn't have a real issue right about now. Because they could not have been any more ill-prepared for that onside kick than they were. And as I mentioned when I had the conversation with Jonathan Jones, the fact that the head coach has to say, oh, no, we know the rule. The fact that he has to actually say that suggests to me that some of them did not know the rule. So why don't we talk head coaches for a minute? In fact, why don't we talk about some of the words that we use to describe head coaches for a minute? I'm talking about words like genius, because that's a word that gets thrown around a hell of a lot in sports, doesn't it? A ton. To the point that it's used and thrown around so much, it starts to lose its meaning. And especially in the case of these two guys. Why don't we start with Matt Patricia? How many times have you heard him referred to as a, quote, genius? Or even better, a rocket scientist? You know, because he studied aeronautical engineering at RPI. You've heard that so many times. This guy's a genius. No, hell, this guy is a rocket scientist. No, I mean like an actual rocket scientist. Yeah, well, that rocket scientist has been crashing and crashing hard in Detroit. Remember, he was brought in to replace Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell was fired after going 9-7. Caldwell, for the record, was 36-28 in four seasons with the Lions. Caldwell led them to the playoffs twice, but the thinking was the team had stalled out underneath him and that Patricia was a genius and a rocket scientist, and he was the one to put them over the top. And who will ever forget how this guy rolled into Detroit? Jungle favorite Darius Slay, a former Lion, said, quote, and this next quote is graphic in nature. Slay said, quote, he told me in front of the whole team, in the team meeting room, showed clips of me in practice, getting a ball caught on me or so in practice. I posted a picture of a wide receiver on social media, and he told me, stop bleeping this man's private. Slay goes on, and I quote, so I'm like, whoa. I'm like, hold up. Private. Where I'm from, that don't fly. Because I wouldn't say that to him. I wouldn't say to him to stop, you know what, to Bill Belichick. I wouldn't do that. That's just not me as a man. That's disrespectful to me. And so from there on, it was done with. End quote. So if this guy is so smart, if this guy is an actual genius, if this guy is a legitimate rocket scientist, how does he lose one of his best players right from the jump? I mean, it was so bad that Slay was practically ready to fight his new head coach, but he didn't. And it's kind of the thing that probably wouldn't have mattered if Patricia got results, except he hasn't. I'm not saying that it's ever okay to say something like that to somebody. Slay's whole point is you don't do that. Man, where I'm from, the way I was raised, you don't do that, period. Now, if you come in here and you start ripping off Lombardi's, maybe people look the other way, but that's not what he did. Patricia took a 9-7 team and then promptly went 6-10 in year one, and then 3-12-1 in year two, and then came out in year three and watched Mitchell Trubisky carve up his defense for 21 points in the fourth quarter in week one. Mitchell bleeping Trubisky was working the genius. Trubisky was working the rocket scientist. So, Detroit already in big trouble. They've got to get right in a hurry. And they did. Incredibly enough, they did. They jump out to a 14-3 lead over the Packers at Lambeau. Now, that's a statement. Right? They made a statement. That is until they gave up 31 unanswered points en route to a 42-21 curb stomping. A much bigger statement. Yeah, that's a statement, all right. Statement is ugly as hell. They're now the first team in NFL history to blow a double-digit lead in four straight games. Hey, rocket scientists, they can't take that from you, right? They've blown a double-digit lead in four straight games. That's not good.
Not good.
That's below not good.
Below not good.
And it's not just bad. It's that they're a complete mess. Losing is one thing. Losing the way they lose is another. They committed four penalties, took a sack, and gave up a TD pass all in the final 1 minute and 24 seconds of the first half. Yeah, but don't worry. Don't worry. The rocket scientist has got this under control. The genius is all over this.
We understand we can't have penalties. We got to keep our composure. We can't have turnovers. We got to do everything we can to make sure we don't give up big plays.
Hey, nice work, rocket scientist. The team understands that it can't commit penalties and it can't give up big plays. And yet the team commits penalties and gives up big plays. And again, this guy's not just an alleged genius. He was hired because he's an alleged defensive genius. Not just a genius, but a defensive genius. And the next big stop that they get defensively will be their first. I'd like to reiterate, Jim Caldwell got run for going 9-7. The genius, Matt Patricia, is 9-24-1. The genius has lost 11 straight games. They have won one game in the last calendar year. So now might be a pretty good time to admit that just because you scored well on the SAT does not mean that you're a lock to be the next Vince Lombardi. Ask Charlie Weiss. It might also be time to take that pencil off. Do it. He's not the only one, though. Matt Patricia is not the only guy to be hit with the genius label and then consistently prove that while he might be able to conjugate plenty of verbs, he cannot conjure up a win. It was just last week that Jets CEO Christopher Johnson told the world that Adam Gase is a, quote, brilliant offensive mind, end quote. Again, let's not let the results fool you. Reject the evidence of your ears and your eyes. Just take it as fact that Adam Gase is a brilliant offensive mind. Just accept that. Why? Because CJ, the CEO, says so. Never mind that the Jets had the worst offense in the NFL last season. Never mind that Ryan Tannehill has turned into a legend since escaping Gase. And forget that the Jets couldn't do anything at all in week one. Hey, man, this dude's brilliant. He is a brilliant offensive mind. Like, if you don't know that Gase is the smartest guy ever, then you must be the dumbest guy ever. Isn't that how they make it sound? And then after getting that delusional backing from the organization, Gase and the Jets went out to prove a point against the 49ers. And they proved that point, all right. Remember, Johnson also made the point that, quote, it won't be too hard, end quote, for the Jets to show progress after that dud in week one. To which I would say, have you met Adam Gase? Have you watched your team play? Why don't we go to the very first play from scrimmage?
They start in the true eye with Kyle Juszczyk ahead of Raheem Mostert.
Oh,
Kendrick
man.
Bourne
Goodbye.
Goes in motion, and he gets the right edge and gets down the sideline, and he's gone. Raheem Mostert is gone down the sideline. First play of the game is a toss sweep and a touchdown, San Francisco.
That feels great, baby.
Niners radio. Yeah, not a real good start. All right, so nobody ever said that Gase was a brilliant off or defensive mind. They just said that he was a brilliant offensive mind. All right, fair enough. Quick summary of the offense yesterday. 277 total yards, one garbage time touchdown, and they have scored 6 points in the first half this year total combined. And the defense was not much better. In fact, somehow it was even worse. Like when they had the 49ers pinned back on 3rd and 31.
And maybe now just get a little more space away from your own end zone here as he tosses it out to Jerick McKinnon. And McKinnon is able to find a lane and break free. His nickname is Jet. He turns on the Jets to get all the way down inside the 40-yard line.
As soon as he makes that cut, gone. And look at that, 55 yards. Wow.
B-U-M-S. Bums, bums, bums. The Jets gave up a first down on 3rd and 31. Not only did they give up a first down on 3rd and 31, they did it to a Niners team without their starting running back and without their starting quarterback and without their starting tight end and without their top wide receiver. All of that, and they still allowed them to convert on 3rd and 31. And if you thought the on-field performance was great from Gase, you are going to love this guy's act at the presser. He was in rare form, Hall of Fame form.
Are you angry? Are you embarrassed? What are you feeling right now?
Well, no, I'm pissed right now. I mean, that's no fun going out there and getting your ass beat. So, I mean, we need to get better fast.
Quote, oh, no, that bleep's no fun. Going out there and getting your bleep beat. We need to get better fast, end quote. Yeah, I understand, Adam, where that might not be fun for you, but the rest of us are having a hell of a good time with it. Besides, why is this so hard for you? You should be used to it by now. It's who you are. It's what you do. It's what you are. And what you are is 7-11 as a head coach with 9 of those losses by double digits. You're getting your bleep beat in on a regular basis. Why are you so shocked by this? Yeah, but don't take my word for it. Ask one of your linebackers, Jordan Jenkins, what he thinks about it.
I'm going to keep it blunt. We haven't shown progress, you know. It's been rinse and repeat for the last 2 games. It's either we're going to keep getting embarrassed or we're going to respond. And that's what it comes down to.
I think you just said, I'm going to keep it blunt. We haven't shown progress. It's been rinse and repeat the last 2 games. Yet there was the explanation for why he went for it on 4th and 1 from the San Francisco 20 in the first half, down 14-3. Quote,
I thought I was going to go to a certain play, and then I changed my mind.
Does that sound like a genius to you? I thought I was going to go to a certain play, and then I changed my mind. My man, you couldn't sound more confused. I'm not sure exactly what play he was going to call or what he actually did call. I know this, though. Either way, Josh Adams stuffed on that play. Or how about that explanation for why he went for a field goal in the third quarter, down 24-3? Why would you do that? Quote, I was looking for some positive juice. Some positive juice. What else you got, genius?
You know, there's not a ton of great plays on 4th and 7 when you're playing that defense.
All right. Not a lot of great plays on 4th and 7 when you're playing that defense. All right. But kicking a field goal down 3 touchdowns still keeps it a 3-score game. In other words, that positive juice doesn't do jack. How many times did the Jets settle for a running play instead of actually trying to make something happen in the air? And I get it. Their wide receiver situation is a mess. But try and do something. I mean, if you're sitting there holding a kitchen table-sized play card, maybe you look at it. Maybe you dial something up. Maybe because you're a genius with a kitchen-sized card, you get something, you dial something up to get somebody open. I mean, after all, you are an offensive genius, right? If the receiver drops it or the quarterback can't get it there, then that's on the players. If that happens, you can say this guy's a brilliant offensive mind, but he does not have brilliant offensive talent around him. But when you keep making dumb calls and you just keep running the ball and trying not to get beaten that badly, then that's on the head coach. Like the Jets, they're not just bad. They really are an embarrassment. From top to bottom, from the guy who called the head coach a brilliant offensive mind to the brilliant offensive mind himself. A complete and total embarrassment and an utter joke, same as they ever were, same as they ever will always be.
That's no fun going out there and getting your ass beat. So, I mean, we need to get better fast.
That's a good idea there, genius. You do need to get better fast. Because right now it's a race to see who gets fired first, you or Matt Patricia. Did you get down with the deck? The flight deck, James Kelly. I had him in on Friday. Here were his picks. He had the Rams -1. Correct. He had the 49ers -7. Correct. He had the Cards -6.5. Correct. He also made a killing in golf and MMA. On the year in the NFL, the deck against the spread is 6-1-1. Now, he probably doesn't like me saying that because he knows how quickly it can turn.
The way it flies, ice
cold. In fact,
he
and I were communicating over the weekend. He said, hey, boss, you and I should just quit because it's never going to get this good ever again. I said, right?
No points for second place.
So far, so good, though. At SA Sports Honk tweets, Jim, we couldn't help notice you choking at the start of the show. You should save it for the very end. Sincerely, the Falcons. Rome, it's all good. Don't worry about choking on the air. Signed, the Falcons.
Fail clown.
Rome Slice. Did you hear that Kit Kat, Fatricia, went to a buffet? And then he ate the entire buffet? And then they had to close the buffet? Regards to clones. Geoff and Lincoln.
Yeah, I know how badly you want me to call him Fat Patricia.
Fat.
But I'm not like that because I'm not sophomoric and I'm not juvenile. I'll talk about how this guy's an alleged rocket scientist and how much worse off they are right now with him than they were with Jim Caldwell.
Rocket engineered.
But no, I'm not going to sink to your level and call that guy Fat Patricia. You know why? I'm not in third grade. Dear Jim, even though we lost to Kansas City, I'd still call that my breakout game. Signed, Justin Herbert's skin. Casey in New Hampshire, Chiefs honk. Hey, Casey, I would say to you that you're better than that, but you're not. And I know you're not. Herbert, I would never say that a guy should lose his starting job to Tyrod Taylor and what he was dealing with prior to that game. And I have long defended that guy. I think they got an issue there now. Herbert looked awesome. And he is the future. And he went out there and nothing bad happened. In fact, there was a lot of good that happened. It's going to be interesting. Hey, Rome. I don't know why the clones give Mike Golick's kid a hard time. Signed, Jack Collinsworth. Great. Here we go again. Damasio. I've never spoken to the kid, but I love his old man. His old man's a great analyst, and he's a class act. Really good dude. I haven't spoken to him in a while, but we used to work together at Fox back in the day. I always found the guy to be extremely classy. One day, Janet was on the campus of Notre Dame with Jake and ran into Chris Collinsworth. And Janet generally is not... She's not about rolling up on people other than Mike Tyson. You know that famous story. Janet generally leaves everybody alone and is embarrassed to do so and doesn't want to do so. But she hit me up. She texted me and said, we're on this tour of the Notre Dame campus and there's Chris Collinsworth. I'm like, absolutely, positively introduce yourself and say hello. Because she knows better. Janet knows that probably there are some people she should not introduce herself to. Not because of her, but because of me. Like, incredibly enough, she realized early on in our courtship that not everybody likes me. I said, that one's fine. He's a really, really good guy. Go say hello to him. And he was. Now, if Charlie Weiss happened to be bumping around on campus, and again, Charlie Weiss now are always good. Like, Charlie Weiss would come on this show. Charlie Weiss would do great interviews on this show. But I told you, I got a really bad vibe from him at Super Bowl. And it's not because of what I've said, because I don't say bad things about him, but you clones do. Especially that one guy who said that he was talking about the jungle caramel. No wonder the guy hates me now. But then again, I got to own it, right? Number one, we should own everything in our lives. Number two, it did happen on my show, even if you said it. Berger in Austin, quote, "The Cowboys got a gift. The Falcons just handed them that game, and I'm okay with it." Signed, Collinsworth's kid. Great. So now that's a thing. Hey, Jim, kiss that pig. You got it. Signed, Mark Grace.
Yes, sir. Kiss that pig.
Mike in Buffalo helping him. Anybody else? I certainly hope not. All right, still ahead. I want to talk some golf. I want to talk about BDC. Now, there's an actual scientist. You want to call that guy a genius? You go right ahead. I'm not going to stop you. That guy is a genius. Everybody thought that guy had it all backwards and all twisted and had no idea what he was doing. Why would a guy in the top 15 go away and then come back 30 pounds heavier? What are you doing trying to break or fix what's not broken? Bryson DeChambeau knew better. That's coming up next. When you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is only a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35, or order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They will even bring it out to your curbside. You can even have your battery tested free of charge while you are there. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like Superstar batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's cars. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstar battery for your car or your truck or your motorcycle, or your lawnmower, or your boat, or more. Just stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
The Lakers get the Jeff Pearlman treatment. He's written a book called Three Ring Circus. Can't wait to get him on and talk about that. That's top of the hour. Robert Lucetich, golf analyst and a best-selling author, coming up in the last segment of the program today. And then this Sunday, the NFL on CBS features some incredible matchups, featuring the league's top contenders, including the Raiders are on the road against the Pats. Deshaun Watson and the Texans take on the Steelers. It all starts with JB and the guys getting you set for the day, starting on Sunday at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. I did my hit yesterday. Alvy was in. Adam Hawk was in. Michelle was in. I was in. It was fun. Great time. And now I'm going to sit back and wait for Drew Kalisky to tell me what my next assignment is. All right, short segment, so let's go to the phones quickly. Green Bay, Wisconsin. Jeremy in Green Bay. Jeremy, what's going on?
Yo, Jim, it's a great time of the year here, man. The dew point is non-existent. The Pack are 2-0, and Kirksey was riding that jungle karma leading the team in tackles this weekend. Man, so much hype, so many positives with this Packers team, Jim. But can we please start talking about LaFleur as a Coach of the Year candidate? He's using all that pre-snap motion to create mismatches like McVay and Shanahan do, but with a much better quarterback to execute those schemes. And the scary part is, Rodgers might be even better than we thought he was now that we see what the post-McCarthy era looks like. And speaking of Big Mike, maybe Cowboy Nation, you pump those brakes and you don't take that victory lap today. Because all the Falcons had to do was jump on that ball the way Brad's wingman Reggie jumps on the grenade when they're at the bar. I know you pulled the proverbial rabbit out of your head, but you ain't going anywhere this year, Cowboy fan. And someone tell Big Mike, analytics isn't just doing things Jason Garrett wouldn't do. He's the absolute worst at making in-game decisions, Jim. He makes Fangio look like Vince Lombardi. He makes Jerome sound sober. So get used to playing from behind, Cowboy Nation. But hey, at least when another window closes on your Cowboys, old Jarrah can say he hired a coach with a ring and shrug. War the Packers rolling that fat-ass Patricia out of Lambeau like the Oompa Loompa rolled the blueberry girl out of the chocolate factory. Unwore Silk driving around with his silk bra vanity plate. And unwore Wells dressing up cardboard Rome every week in those Mariners and Seahawks jerseys like he's playing with his Barbie dolls. Deuces, Jimmy.
Much of that was true, especially the last part of it. All right, Jeremy, thank you very much. Yeah, Big Mike made some really questionable calls in that game. Oh, and what do you know? Aaron Rodgers is not a shot fighter. That guy looks amazing. Still elite. I said it after week one. Still elite. And he looked great again yesterday. And I'm going to say that some of that has to do with the head coach. Some of that has to do with the scheme. And some of that has to do with his health. Notice I'm not talking about how this guy's running on some crazy premium fuel. Because to me, it's kind of insulting. Like, he might be. He might be to a certain extent. But this guy is always running on premium fuel. This is a guy who's always played with a chip on his shoulder, with extreme motivation. I mean, to suggest that he's only playing like this because of who they drafted to replace him is not giving this guy nearly the credit he deserves. I'm going to say also, again, he's playing much better because he's healthier. But he's playing great. All right, when we come back, one more open segment, and then we have two interviews next hour. I'm trying to talk some golf. In fact, I don't want to wait until Robert Lucetich comes on to talk golf. I want to hit on Bryson DeChambeau and the fact that he got his first major. Not only his first major, but the way he did so. This guy's the epitome of, quote, shocking the system. He went away. And before he did, he said, just so you know, I'm going to come back a totally different person. And he did, and he was mocked hard for it. And look at what he's done since then. Man, this is going against the grain, and then there's that. That's coming up next. First up, though, here is a sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And listen up, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper is better. It just is. Better for you. Higher in essential protein than chips, sugar-filled energy bars, or candy. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? All right, so I'm trying to give you a little bit of range here. I'm talking about different things, different topics, different sports, different people. And somewhere buried underneath 14 NFL games and an Anthony Davis step back, stone cold, walk-off three ball was none other than Bryson DeChambeau absolutely throttling the 120th United States Open Championship. But Bryson did not just win the U.S. Open and rip his first career major. No, he won with the ultimate vindication. A guy went into the lab and the gym and the protein shake factory and came out 30 pounds heavier and 30 yards longer, just shoved 6,000 calories of I told you so right down all of golf's throat. And then ask the entire sport, how's that taste?
And Bryson DeChambeau is indeed a U.S. Open champion at Winthrop. Bryson DeChambeau wows us all, defies logic, and wins the United States Open in 2020 style.
Blazing a trail all his own.
That's Paul Azinger saying it right there on NBC. Quote, blazing a trail all of his own. That trail has been in the works since high school. And it's a trail that has long been drenched in science and physics and all sorts of experiments, eliciting a grip of skeptics and haters ever since he showed up on tour back in 2016 with that trademark Hogan cap. The most recent lab experiment
from the mad scientist has been the bulk up. The guy who went into quarantine as an average citizen, but came out of it as the Hulk. And the fact is, he's been nothing short of superhuman since then. 6 top 10s, 3 top 3s, a couple of wins, including yesterday's major. I mean, it's almost impossible to decide what's more impressive. His 6-shot slaughter victory at the U.S. Open yesterday, or the fact that he executed a plan that nobody thought of and no one thought would work. As far as the tournament goes, BDC played one of golf's best rounds ever. I mean, that's not even hyperbole. That was one of the sport's best rounds ever. Everybody knows that Wingfoot West is one of, if not the, toughest tracks anywhere. And on a day when exactly nobody else shot under par, he went 3-under at 67. The next best score was even. And BDC's 67 capped off a week where he never once turned in a scorecard over 70. And this much we know about the U.S. Open. They're always designed, the courses, with a premium on accuracy. Hit the narrow fairways, hold the oil slick greens, and you may have a chance of surviving. But if you miss in the ankle deep rough, or you get on the wrong side of the flagstick, it's going to be a bloodbath. Bryson DeChambeau just completely flipped the script. He treated Wingfoot like one of his 7 daily protein shakes, and he just murdered it. Normally, when somebody misses 33 of 56 fairways, you can find them at the very bottom of the board. This guy misses 33 of 56 fairways, and he won the damn thing going away. And that's because he didn't care where his drives ended up. He spent the entire week leading up to the U.S. Open practicing wedges out of the hay, and it paid off. Paid off to the tune of his first major and over $2 million. They don't ask for a story on the scorecard, just a number. And he posted the best ever 4-round number in the 6 U.S. Opens that have been played there. I mean, I can go on and on for hours about the actual round. That's how impressive and how ridiculous that round was. But I'm more in awe of the process and his conviction. Remember, this is a top 15 player. He was a top 15 golfer when he made that body transformation. You have any idea the stones it takes to risk that kind of a career that he was having prior to the bulk up? Think about that for a minute. This guy could have cashed huge paychecks every single week for the rest of his life and run into a tournament win here and there, maybe even a major, and been considered a really nice player, living a really nice life. I mean, why would you fix what ain't broke? Top 15 in the world. However, the true out-of-the-boxers are always looking to break crap, even if it's not broken, because just being good for them is not good enough. Just being very good for them is still not good enough. So the mad scientist put it all on the line, gave the haters all the ammo that they would ever need in the event that it didn't work out. And yet 3 months later, he's a major champion in one of the most dominating wins that sport has ever seen and seemingly can't lose. I mean, if it didn't work, this guy would have been laughed at and mocked forever. But see, that's the thing about guys like that. He knows that. He knew that. He didn't give a damn. He did not give a damn. The guy's not afraid of that. The best ones aren't. Now he's got people wondering how he did it. Now he's got people questioning whether or not they should start doing it. Should they start slamming protein by the truckload in an attempt to keep up? Speaking of which, this dude did his post-round media session with a gigantic wine glass next to him and the trophy. Only the wine glass was not full of the grape. It was full of the chocolate milk. You know, because gains, bro. Because gains. And because chocolate milk rules. And gains. I actually want to play a few cuts from his media session because they're fascinating. Like this one where he shouts out science.
I did it. And as difficult as this golf course was presented, I played it beautifully. So many times I relied on science, and it worked every single time.
This guy's the best. I mean, people hate him. I understand that too, but this guy's the best. He's like, oh, I did it. Oh, I did it. I did it. I played beautifully, and I relied on science. Just make sure you know this, that I did it. A golfer saying also that he relied on science after winning a major is a first, but very much on brand for BDC. And so was this gem right here.
And I'm not going to stop. Next week, I'm going to be trying a 48-inch driver. We're going to be messing with some head designs and do some amazing things with Cobra to make it feasible to hit these drives, hopefully 360, 370, maybe even farther. We don't know.
This guy's about to put a 4-foot shaft on his driver in an attempt to go 370. I mean, that would have sounded so laughable a few months back. But is there anybody laughing right now? And is there anybody who does not believe that this guy will do exactly what he says he's going to do? And then there was BDC talking about getting even bigger for Augusta come November.
For the record, what is your current height and weight?
6'1", 230 to 235, depending on if I've eaten steak or not.
Do you want to be bigger when you get to Augusta?
Yeah. I think I can get to 245. It's going to be a lot of working out, but I feel like I could still get up there if I work hard enough.
Like, this dude feels like he could add 10 or 15 more pounds prior to Augusta. The right way. So the rest of the field has to be thinking that an even bigger Bryson is going to hit it even further, because he just warned the world, I'm going to add weight. I'm going to build a big stick that carries 370. That's all so good. But I think my favorite part of the entire media sesh was this.
How do you explain how during a pandemic and what a lot of people are writing off as kind of a lost year, you've elevated your game this much?
I felt like it was an opportunity, not a lost year at all. I felt like it was an opportunity to do something great, change my lifestyle, make it healthier, make it better. And I hope this inspires everybody else to do the same. When you have time, when you have that little free moment, don't squander it. Look at it as an opportunity for you to make yourself better. And that's what I think I did this year, and I'm going to keep trying to do that.
Hell yes. I love this guy. I love that. I love that take. Because the best are looking at the pandemic. And they're not turning it into something political necessarily. They're not sitting back and saying, man, I'm just so beaten down. I just can't take any more of this. This guy flipped the script. This guy said, it's an opportunity. I'm going to change my lifestyle. I'm going to use this as an opportunity to get better. And look what he did. Very well said. He looked at it as a way to get better. And again, it's a conversation we've had a lot on the podcast lately. I'm going to leave that right there for a minute. It's a conversation we've had on the podcast lately. Either you're getting better or you're getting worse. And if you're getting better, you're either getting better incrementally or you're shocking the system. This guy shocked the system. This guy went away and came back 30 pounds heavier, changed his game, changed his lifestyle, changed his mindset, and now says, yeah, and I can gain even more and get bigger and stronger and longer. Like, the world changed, and so did he, but for the better. And now everybody else has to deal with this guy because he did put the work in where so many others are not willing to do so. So again, he didn't just win a major. He won the narrative. He flipped the script. He turned doubters into believers, and he's got the rest of the field pretty much shook. He did things to that track that folks thought were not possible. He beat his playing partner in the final group of a major on Sunday by 8 shots.
I did it.
He did do it. I did it! And then he smashed a glass of chocolate milk.
I did it.
And told everyone, I'm not done. In fact, I'm just getting started. And I'm going to put on another 10 or 15 before Augusta. And at this point, who can afford not to believe this guy when he says he's going to do something? Especially when he's walking down the fairway smashing protein shakes during his round. He did it!
As difficult as this golf course was presented, I played it beautifully. So many times I relied on science, and it worked every single time.
I love the way he says, the way this course was presented, I played it beautifully.
played it beautifully.
You know, I got to take a moment right here and just give myself credit, man. I was something else. But then again, I don't see anybody else getting in line to hype this guy up other than me, so he may as well give himself credit.
I played it beautifully.
Rory tried to not only act like it didn't happen, he tried to somehow erase it and make it seem like it was meaningless and that it didn't count. Like, Rory, you want to talk about the math not adding up. Like, he couldn't figure out the math. Rory just could not figure out how a guy with that game could approach that course and not only win, but dominate. Like, the math did not add up for Rory at all.
Okay, so I've done the math on...
Yeah, Rory did the math, and he still can't figure it out. It's not that hard to figure out, Rory. Leaderboard, look up at it. So he had the attitude that was all wrong. I'm into this guy. Like, I understand that he rubs people the wrong way. I've even been critical of him at times. But the fact that this guy went away and did something that everybody thought was like the worst idea ever and so whack, and he was totally convinced. He had this unbelievable conviction, like, I know exactly what I'm doing. Normally when somebody thinks I'm right and the rest of the world is wrong, that person's wrong, not BDC. He thought to himself, I'm right and the rest of the world was wrong, and he was right. It worked.
It worked every single time.
It did work. Hey, Rome, it was so easy to clown DeChambeau when he was conducting his science experiments and being a complete weirdo. But tip of the hat to the champ. What a freaking performance. Joke is on all of us. Wore the 240 guy who's jacked. You better, DeMasio. That's a better email from you. When we come back, as I mentioned, the Lakers get the Jeff Pearlman treatment. This is going to be good. He's written a book about the Lakers. That's coming up next. Robert Lucetich next hour as well. Stay tuned.